Okay, it's time for our study again today, little children. It's December 22nd, 2022, 1631 hours. Ward Green is my name. And today's study is looking rather nice. This Psalm 82 is a very important one. It's a very meaningful one because it talks about the judges of the earth and the idea of humans being appointed by God as judges, which makes them godlike. And they're called gods, in fact, because they judge. But before we start, and Isaiah looks like it's going to be, they're both fairly short, but Matthew is usually, of course, longer, each chapter in Matthew. And that's appropriate because we'll be learning about the Messiah, Jesus. But before I start, I want to update my thumb, although I updated a little bit, and my slippers, too. I've been wearing the slippers. First, my thumb. I'm not in much pain, which is, zero, really, for the most part, pain. So that I'm very comfortably able to sit and allow my body to heal without, you know, being in pain. So hopefully it's going to heal well and I'm going to be okay. But I'm ever alert for any sign of what I need to do or what I might be able to do, which was always the case when I was attending to my wife in her final days also. I was always very alert for anything I could do to fix anything or, you know, help her to be healing or be more comfortable, and to, you know, to her quality of life, and it, like my quality of life now too. I'm always aware of the quality of life issue. Life is not just about how long you live or how not just about how exciting it is, which is very big important part of it, but it's about quality of life also. So like one aspect of that would be, you know, buying and owning tools even though you don't use them all the time, because you know that you are going to need them one day. You're going to need those tools, or that tool that you buy is going to be needed on one occasion when it's going to save you time and it's going to save you money, and it's going to save you a lot of trouble by having the tools in your toolbox or on hand. So a lot of life or quality of life has to do with those sorts of things, being prepared. And I mean, some things I cannot buy, like shopping for some things. I tried to shop for a watch band that would fit my Casio, which is a very tight clearance on the stretch bars, whatever they're called, the pins, the mounting pins for the strap. There's no clearance. I'd have to pay a fortune to buy a watch strap that has a thin enough diameter or width, thickness, a thin enough material as a NATO strap, which is just a strap that goes underneath the watch, and it goes through both of the spring bars. So therefore, if one of the spring bars fails, you don't lose your watch. So these NATO straps, they just didn't fit my watch at all because they're all too thick. And I just can't buy one. But I could have ordered one, but it would have cost me a lot of money for a watch strap coming from a company I don't trust in some place other than Canada, and ordering that and then waiting for a period of time to receive it, and not knowing whether the watch strap will be really comfortable or not. But it's the only, it would be the only option I would have if I wanted to buy a NATO watch strap for this watch, the Casio. So, but I mean, I can't buy that because it just isn't, it just wasn't the right thing to do. I couldn't conscientiously buy it. The other thing, there are lots of things I just can't buy. Like, I want to buy more tarps for my carports, but it's not ethical, I guess I would call it, or, you know, it doesn't feel ethical to buy. It has to do with my experience. I can't buy things on speculation because I know they never end up getting used. I mean, a lot of the things I do buy never get used because they're bought. A lot of the things that I buy are bought for contingencies, for in case of emergency, and things like that. But I mean, hopefully they do get used, but they feel like they're never going to get used at the time you buy them, or at the time, you know, most days when you're looking at your possessions, you've got things you might never use, but all of it was bought with the intent of using it. And yet there's still lots of things that don't get used. And still, it's not necessarily the wrong thing. You know, it's not necessarily wrong to own those things. I'm trying to think of some other examples, but there are lots of things that it has to do with timing. I did buy some more tarps, but I didn't. I just bought the same ones that I know what they are, and I know I didn't buy more than I can use right now, and I only bought a couple, I think, just two. But I also bought the hardware for mounting tarps and things. But I can't. Here's the other thing. Yeah, the other thing about ethical buying: never buy two of anything. Never buy two of anything unless you've used it before and you know what it is. So you buy one to try it. Never buy two of something if you've never bought one, if you've never bought any. Because if you buy two of something without knowing what it is, it could turn out to be a complete wash and you've wasted a lot of money. Actually, that happened to me when I tried to buy two of the welding tables and I only got one of them. So I lost money by trying to buy two in that case, and I'd never seen the item. So, but it's okay to sometimes lose money, too. That's the other thing about buying. That's how you learn to be more diligent and wiser. Oh, yeah, I want to make a comment about safety. I've thought of an acronym, the WISE acronym. WEAR, Important Safety Equipment, WISE. WISE, wear important safety equipment, or wear intelligent safety equipment. It's got to start with I to spell WISE. Or WISE, WYSE, wear your safety equipment, WISE. Because if I'd been wearing gloves, the work gloves, I would not have injured myself. This would not be happening here. But, of course, maybe I would have injured myself some other way. But, I mean, I can't be sure. But it's possible I would not have injured myself at all if I'd been wearing the safety gloves, right? The thing is, yeah, because I was working out in the cold, right? Also, it would have kept my hands warmer. And they're rubber gloves. My hands don't slip when I'm wearing rubber. So, but what slipped was not my hand. It was the pliers grip, the grip of the pliers, which had smooth face They were smooth-faced pliers. They weren't designed for what I was using them for. They just happened to be the nearest pair. I didn't want to run down to the basement. I was lazy, and I ended up slicing my thumb. And now I can't use that thumb for maybe a couple of weeks. I don't know. We'll see. Maybe longer. I mean, maybe shorter. But it's a good lesson. I thought I was saving time. Well, the light was failing. Like, the light was literally failing the whole time I was working. So I tried to save time, and I got injured. Wear your safety equipment. Wear ideal safety equipment. WISE. Wise. I also like new technology. I like buying new technology. But there's lots of new technology that I won't buy because it's not tested well enough yet, or I don't believe in it, you know, or it's not. You know, technology is always going to be a losing investment. It always goes down into the recycling, and it always is a loss in the end. So, new technology, I'm always adopting it, but I'm always, you know, I'm always aware, I'm wary about anything that's new. I thought that was interesting that a watch that you can buy, you have to charge it every 3 days. This watch, I might have to put a new battery in it every 5 years or 10 years. I mean, I'm not sure how long the battery lasts. I know they last a long time. But to me, it seems a serious inconvenience to have to charge a watch. Every year, even, would be inconvenient, let alone every 3 years. But, of course, it's easier to charge a watch than it is to replace a battery. But no, it seems to me that the idea of having a watch that requires charging is nonsensical. That's completely... It's not a move forward. It's not forward thinking in technology. It's not at all even remotely close to being an advance in technology. What we want are watches you don't have to charge for 30 years. That's what we want. Not, you know, we want convenience. So, I mean, this idea of having to charge something all the time. It's the same with the phones, having to charge them all the time. That's maybe it's unavoidable, but and the battery life that they do have, they're not interested in providing a good battery life. That's not the goal when they're designing these devices. They could design them to have, you know, much fewer functions and longer battery life, but they don't do that. But now in the case of something like a phone, I see the advantage of having to charge it every day, because if you only have to charge it every 3 days, you're going to forget to charge it because it's not every day. So, I mean, I see the point. I see the point. But, I mean, a new watch that had a lot of functions would be great if it didn't need charging. You know, that would... That's the thing that's what somebody has to do, has to build, has to create, design. If not Apple, somebody else has to design it. A device that can use very little power and still have enormous functions, you know, enormous power. And what they don't need is a bright display. That's the other thing. This idea of having a bright display is a worthless idea because it costs battery life. What you need is very dim displays that work in the dark. And so people need to work in a dimly lit environment to save power also for their lighting. You know, we all need to do that. And low power devices can only be created with low light displays. So that's the way it has to be. And that's the future. I mean, there's no future in brighter displays. That's idiocy. Unless you want to burn your eyes out staring at them, it just doesn't make sense. Anyway, that's the way I'm seeing it. Anyway, but the thing is, you know, it's great to be comfortable while my thumb heals. It's not in pain right now. I'm doing all the basic everyday things, and it's not in pain. But I'm not very inclined to make to do food prep because it's a little, you know, I can't use the thumb, so not very inclined to do much in that. But I made some soup, or I heated up the soup, added some broth to it, and just, you know, some chicken stock, and heated it up. And I had some chicken stock and just ate a few potato chips for breakfast, basically. And I had an apple. So I'm feeling, you know, I'll probably eat less for the next little while because I want to heal. Don't want to, you know, I don't want to waste my body's energy in processing food. But the other thing are the slippers. I've been walking around in the slippers, the UGG Ascot slippers, the size 10s, which are too big for me, but I think my toes would be crowded. If I got a smaller size, it's very possible that even my own size 9, if I'd bought that size, that my toes would get crowded ever so slightly maybe, but there's a big possibility that I would be crowding my toes in these slippers with that size. So size 10 is, they're not crowding me. That's a big plus, I think. It's a great thing to be able to say that I've got slippers that I can wear them. They're very comfortable. But when I'm walking, my heels are slipping around, that's all. So that's the part that's not desirable. And that's just, I think, to be expected with any slipper, but especially with one that's made of real leather, like they're not broken in, so they're not going to flex, you know, and so they're not going to hold my heel in place. And I think it would have been a mistake to try to buy the right size. I think I did the right thing, but it's strange because I've never bought anything like that, you know, that it was oversized in a shoe. It's just that these are slippers, and that's the reason. So the main point is that there's lots of air in there to keep my feet warm with the sheepskin lining those interiors of the slippers, and it's going to be, it already is pretty comfortable. Like I don't have to keep my feet near the heater all the time. You know, I can move my feet around, and that's a big plus, and they're perfect for sitting at my computer. For doing my work at my computer, they are a perfect perfect shoe. So let me just, I'm just adjusting the trim on my my broadcast program here, or the movie program, the window, the output window. It's time to start the study. I can't wait to see what happens. We didn't get any snow yet. They're saying we're going to tonight, I think. So that's when I'll be watching to see how my new tarps are performing with regard to keeping snow out of my carport. I can't wait to see because I actually sacrificed some actual skin to get it done. So, yeah, it was very unfortunate. I was not in pain during the accident either. It didn't hurt. The cut, it hurt. It hurt when I cut it, but when I put pressure on it, there was no pain afterwards. You know, I worked without any pain with the bandage on. I haven't changed the bandage since then, you know, yet. But it was not, it's not been painful having a bandage and working with that thumb, at least until after I came in, and then it's been excruciating, the pain. I mean, I've never felt pain like that from a flesh wound, which makes me think I might have cut the tendon or something serious happened, you know, something. I'll be taking vitamin C to help, you know, if I need more, I'll try and take more if I see any sign of infection, but it looks fine. But anyone who has an infection, you might want to try vitamin C in the gram quantities, taking enough vitamin C every 20 minutes or every half an hour, like a gram or 2 grams of it, every 20 minutes or half an hour, because it will wipe out the free radicals that are involved in infections. It doesn't matter whether they're virus or bacterial infections. Vitamin C works phenomenally. And it's a sorbate. You just need a sorbate. It's not the vitamin C itself. It's the simplest possible form of vitamin C, which is a sorbate. That's all you need to do this, to actually have it cure you from infection. But you just want to watch your bowel tolerance, that you don't eat too much after you start having diarrhea. Of course, don't eat at all. Don't eat any more vitamin C after the vitamin C reaches your bowel. So you learn when that, how that feels, when that happens. You learn to judge how much to eat. But it's very effective for any infection. So this is a melody of Asaph, Psalm 82. God is stationing himself in the assembly of the Divine One. In the middle of the gods, he judges. How long will you keep on judging with injustice and showing partiality to the wicked themselves? Selah. Be judges for the lowly one and the fatherless boy. To the afflicted one and the one of little means, do justice. Provide escape for the lowly one and the poor one. Out of the hand of the wicked ones, deliver them. They have not known and they do not understand. In darkness they keep walking about. All the foundations of the earth are made to totter. I myself have said, you are gods. And all of you are sons of the Most High. Surely you will die just as men do, and like any one of the princes you will fall. Do rise up, O God, do judge the earth, for you yourself should take possession of all the nations. Psalm 82. You yourself are gods. I myself have said, you are gods. All of you are sons of the Most High. Why? Why were they called gods? Because the assembly of Jehovah, in verse 1, was where they judged. They were called the gods, and Jehovah judged in the assembly of the gods. And these assemblies were the court cases that were taking place on earth, evidently because in verse 2, Jehovah accused these judges with showing partiality to the wicked and judging with injustice. And he urged them in verse 3 to be judges for the lowly and the fatherless, the afflicted and the poor. In verse 4 also. But in verse 5, these people did not understand. But Jehovah called them gods. In verse 6. Even though they would die in verse 7, just like other men, we all die. But some humans have enormous power because they're judges. And the psalmist urges God to rise up and judge the earth in verse 8. So we don't put faith in human judges, but Jehovah appoints them, and they're godlike because Jehovah appointed them to do judging on earth. They're like gods, literally. They're called gods, in fact. Literally gods. By Jehovah himself. So, Isaiah 62, which is a short one. For the sake of Zion, I shall not keep still, and for the sake of Jerusalem, I shall not stay quiet, until her righteousness goes forth just like the brightness, and her salvation like a torch that burns. And the nations will certainly see your righteousness, O woman, and all kings your glory, and you will actually be called by a new name, which the very mouth of Jehovah will designate. And you must become a crown of beauty in the hand of Jehovah, and a kingly turban in the palm of your God. No more will you be said to be a woman left entirely, and your own land will no more be said to be desolate, but you yourself will be called, my delight is in her. And your land owned as a wife. For Jehovah will have taken delight in you, and your own land will be owned as a wife. For just as a young man takes ownership of a virgin as his wife, your sons will take ownership of you as a wife. And with the exultation of a bridegroom over a bride, your God will exult even over you. Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have commissioned watchmen. All day long and all night long, constantly let them not keep still. You who are making mention of Jehovah, let there be no silence on your part. And do not give him any silence until he fixes solidly, yes, until he sets Jerusalem as a praise in the earth. Jehovah has sworn with his right hand and with his strong arm, I will no more give your grain as food to your enemies. Nor will foreigners drink your new wine, for which you have toiled. But the very ones gathering it will eat it, and they will be certain to praise Jehovah, and the very ones collecting it will drink it in my holy courtyards. Pass out through the gates, you men. Clear the way of the people. Bank up the highway. Rid it of stones, raise up a signal for the peoples. Look, Jehovah himself has caused it to be heard to the farthest part of the earth. Say, you people, to the daughter of Zion, look, your salvation is coming. Look, the reward he gives is with him, and the wages he pays are before him. And men will certainly call them the holy people, those repurchased by Jehovah. And you yourself will be called search for. A city not left entirely. That's Jerusalem. This chapter is about Jerusalem, or Zion, as it says in verse 1. So Jerusalem is going to be a city not left entirely. That's the message there. Will be owned by the sons of Jerusalem. They would take ownership in verse 5 of Jerusalem as their wife. That's the prophecy of Isaiah 62, which we just did. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 12. At that season, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples got hungry and started to pluck heads of grain and to eat. At seeing this, the Pharisees said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what it is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and the men with him got hungry? How he entered into the house of God and they ate the loaves of presentation, something that it was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests only? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbaths the priests in the temple treat the Sabbath as not sacred and continue guiltless? But I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. However, if you had understood what this means, 'I want mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless ones. For Lord of the Sabbath is what the Son of Man is." After departing from that place, he went into their synagogue, and look, a man with a withered hand. So they asked him, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath?" that they might get an accusation against him. He said to them, "Who will be the man among you that has one sheep, and if this falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not get hold of it and lift it out? All considered, of how much more worth is a man than a sheep? So, it is lawful to do a fine thing on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored sound like the other hand. But the Pharisees went out and took counsel against him, that they might destroy him. Having come to know this, Jesus withdrew from there. Many also followed him, and he cured them all, but he strictly charged them not to make him manifest, that there might be fulfilled what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, who said, "Look, my servant whom I chose, my beloved whom my soul approved, I will put my spirit upon him, and what justice is he will make clear to the nations. He will not wrangle, nor cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the broad ways. No bruised reed will he crush, and no smoldering flaxen wick will he extinguish, until he sends out justice with success. Indeed, in his name, nations will hope." Then they brought him a demon-possessed man, blind and dumb. And he cured him, so that the dumb man spoke and saw. Well, all the crowds were simply carried away and began to say, "May this not perhaps be the son of David?" At hearing this, the Pharisees said, "This fellow does not expel the demons except by means of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Knowing their thoughts, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself comes to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. In the same way, if Satan expels Satan, he has become divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Moreover, if I expel the demons by means of Beelzebub, by means of whom do your sons expel them? This is why they will be judges of you. But if it is by means of God's Spirit that I expel the demons, the kingdom of God has really overtaken you. Or how can anyone invade the house of a strong man and seize his movable goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He that is not on my side is against me, and he that does not gather with me scatters. On this account I say to you, every sort of sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. For example, whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him. No, not in this system of things, nor in that to come. Either you people make the tree fine and its fruit fine, or make the tree rotten and its fruit rotten. For by its fruit the tree is known. Offspring of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are wicked? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man, out of his good treasure, sends out good things, whereas the wicked man, out of his wicked treasure, sends out wicked things. I tell you that every unprofitable saying that men speak, they will render an account concerning it on judgment day. For by your words you will be declared righteous, and by your words you will be condemned. Then, as an answer to him, some of the scribes and Pharisees said, Teacher, we want to see a sign from you. In reply, he said to them, A wicked and adulterous generation keeps on seeking for a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the huge fish 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. Men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it, because they repented at what Jonah preached. But look, something more than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will be raised up in the judgment with this generation and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. But look, something more than Solomon is here. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it passes through parched places in search of a resting place and finds none. Then it says, I will go back to my house out of which I moved. And on arriving, it finds it unoccupied, but swept clean and adorned. Then it goes its way and takes along with it seven different spirits more wicked than itself. And after getting inside, they dwell there. And the final circumstances of that man become worse than the first. That is how it will be also with this wicked generation. While he was yet speaking to the crowds, look, his mother and brothers took up a position outside seeking to speak to him. So someone said to him, Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. As an answer, he said to the one telling him, Who is my mother and who are my brothers? And extending his hand toward his disciples, he said, Look, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And that was Matthew chapter 12. So I think we can end the study right now, actually, and I can get back to work doing all the things I'm doing. Researching. I'm doing a lot of shopping every day, because a lot of the things that I'm buying, okay, that's what I want to say about shopping. A lot of what I'm buying involves not being able to buy things immediately right now, or having needs that I know I need certain things, but I can't buy them. I can't buy everything in one day. It's like, not just because of the money, but because, I mean, not because I don't have the money, but because it wouldn't be appropriate. Like here, I'm looking at a grinding wheel for cutting stone, right? I don't have a grinding wheel that can cut stone. I have a grinder that I just bought, but I don't have a grinding wheel that can cut stone. So I'm going to shop for what grinding wheel can cut stone, and maybe I want to buy one now, but, you know, I don't have to. But every day there are things that need to be bought. And if you don't buy them on this day, you will come upon the need for them before you actually have them, which you don't want to have happen. You'd rather have them on hand when you have the need for them. So a lot of shopping is preparing for needs that you know you will have, and for your future needs, for things that are being used up now. Like, for example, you have to buy furnace filters if you're using up your furnace filters and so on, or if you have a furnace, if you've got anything that uses a filter. So replacing expendable items or items that get used up, consumables, you know, replacing consumables is part of shopping, and that's a big part of it, undoubtedly. But the other part of it is, you know, shopping for your future needs, you know, anticipating your future needs. But one example, again, of consumables is replacing the canvas on my carport. It was getting old, so that's a consumable. But I can also add new canvas, which I'm doing, so that's anticipating my future needs. And designing, improving my quality of life, too. That's another thing. That's another aspect of shopping, is improving your quality of life. I could buy a little device that is a laser treatment for toenails and can kill the fungus in your toenails, right? But these things are being improved every day. They're being developed and improved. So if I wait months or years before I make such a purchase, I might buy a much better device for much less money. But that's a quality of life thing. That's a purchase that can be done using, and research can be done, not just on Amazon. You can research the Amazon reviews, but you can research the Amazon products, but you can also research independent reviews online that review many different things. You can search for the best of, best product, you know, best grinding wheel, best grinder, best pair of shoes, best slippers. I searched for that many times. I did many searches for best slippers before I ended up with the Ascots. But, I mean, I've got the Ascots on right now. And they're comfortable, they're warm, and my feet would be freezing cold if I weren't near the heater. If they weren't near the heater right now, and I can put them near the heater, but I mean, wearing just sandals, my feet would be much colder, because the sandals have no coverage, nor insulation or anything. But I mean, the thing is, you know, I'm planning for my future. I intend to live at colder temperatures in the future, I think, because I'm going to learn how to live at colder temperatures. I'm anticipating those needs, and so I bought these new slippers, knowing that I can live more efficiently at lower temperatures if my feet are warm. So, it'll probably be ended up being somewhat wasted money, but it's research and development. So, $139 for these slippers. I will learn something, and then I'll say, well, a much better way to keep my feet warm would be to have bought boots that go further up my leg. I'm realizing that right now, actually. I need to buy the boots that go much further up my leg. But the problem with those are they don't generally have a good sole in them. The Uggs were said to have a good sole, like they had a good firm structure to the shoe, to the slipper, so you could walk in them, because they were actually designed with support for the foot, an arch support even, you know. But I don't really sense much of an arch support in these slippers, because my feet have pretty high arches. But I can probably add an insole to them, but it's not going to work because they're such low-cut boots, you know, shoes, I mean, slippers. But what I need to get is now I realize I need to get the bigger boots, but I have to get, they have to be shoes. I need shoes that are warm. That's what I need, right? I've got enough pairs of shoes, though, right now that I could wear something. And my feet, my Merrells would keep my feet warm. They go up fairly high on the ankle. They would keep me warmer than what... And these slippers don't keep my ankles warm. But that's not really an issue, because I can wrap something around my ankles. So I can get ankle warmers. And that's a lot cheaper than buying a new pair of shoes. So it's not really an issue. But I need something that I can walk in the house while wearing them, something I can wear and walk around and not get not develop problems by tripping, or you know, problems with tripping or else problems with my feet because I don't have good enough shoes on my feet. These are just ongoing research projects all the time. I'm always on the research for everything. Right now I'm concentrating on feet, because I bought my first slippers really ever when I bought the Moza, and I've still got them right on hand here. The Moza keep my feet, I think, warmer than the Uggs. They were warmer. My toes right now with the Uggs, they're not cold. They're not really warm because my ankles are getting cold, right? The Moza don't warm my ankles, but, I mean, for some reason, my feet felt warmer in the Moza than they do right now in the Uggs. I don't know. But that might be because you can't compare directly because in the Uggs, I'm keeping my feet further away from the heater. So I'm allowing them to get cold, perhaps. But everything in life, my right slipper is much looser. That's the other thing. So it's going to be colder. It lets the cold air in. There's cold air, but it doesn't feel cold to my hand. I need to wrap something around my foot. Yeah. Anyway, $139 investment though to learn something. That's the thing. It's an investment because you learn something, and you can then make a better decision with the next spending of money. I didn't spend $400. I spent $139. It's actually a very good bargain for sheepskin, but it's just not the most perfect thing. You can't mail order shoes and expect to have shoes that fit you. That's the essential issue there. And also, you can't really know what you're getting either. So these are going to be, I have every confidence. I can wear heavier socks too. I can wear heavier socks in these Uggs because they're oversized. That's right. I can wear more than one pair of socks. Because they're oversized. So that's the other advantage of oversizing things. But it's always research and development. You're buying with the intent of learning something important. Don't buy undersized and then say, well, I can't wear these now. Buy oversized so you can find some way to wear them. If anything, that's a good guideline. But I definitely don't ever buy oversized except in this one case. I always buy the right size, but a little oversized. I had to buy oversized when I bought my Danners, and that enabled me to put in more than one insole and end up with a phenomenally cushioned boot. The hiking boots, they've not even been broken in, and they're really comfortable, like incredibly comfortable. I mean, it's amazing for full grain leather. So I mean, I love full grain leather too, and that's essentially what these slippers are. So I mean, now I've got them warm because I've changed my foot position. Now they're going to be toasty. So I don't doubt that these things will take time to evaluate. But everything that I'm shopping for, new things all the time, because this is what I'm trying to explain. Throughout your life, my life, there are lots of things we want to purchase, but we can't at the time purchase them because we don't have the money, or because we can't justify it at that time for whatever reason, right? We don't justify owning that item at that time. It just doesn't fit our lifestyle or whatever reason. But as we go through life, the list of those things that we want to or have a need for, and we want to own them, that list grows as we get older. We have there's a long list of things we want to own, or either want to or need to. We need to own them or we want to own them, and there's a good reason for wanting them. That list is growing every day. And then what happens when we get to where we do have the money, let's say, which can happen, and we have an ongoing source of money, now we have a choice. What are we going to buy today? We can't buy all of them in one day. So even if we could afford it, we couldn't evaluate them all in one day. So we have to buy them in the proper order so that we evaluate them in the proper order so that the next purchase can be better made having evaluated the previous purchase, so that we buy things in a specific sequence. It's a sequence of, it's a timed, you know how they say, you know, with comedy, timing is everything? Well, this is like timing. This is timing. When you buy it, I'm right now buying slippers. I don't know really fully why. I can't analyze all the reasons why, but I know it's logically based because I study logic. I study Jesus, and he is the Logos. I study logic. I meditate on it. I believe in it. So everything I'm doing must have a logical basis because that's the way I think and live. And it's wonderful when things come together so perfectly because of logic. When you save yourself time and effort and money because of using logic, that's a wonderful thing. And that can only happen when you do things in the right sequence. Otherwise, you end up with, for example, you bought you bought the car, but you didn't buy the wheels. So you can't use the car until you get the wheels, right? So I mean, you have to have things in the right order. There are definitely better and worse ways of doing things, and the sequence is no exception to that. There are better sequences and worse sequences in terms of what order to make purchases or what order to make decisions, you know, what order to do things, anything. Sequence, order, you know, is important. When you're designing something, like for example, here I am, right, designing a wall and a door, and I end up installing canvas. But that's a good sequence. If I built the wall and door and installed them first and it didn't work, where would I go then? Then I install canvas? It doesn't make much sense. It would be better to install the canvas first and then figure out more about how the door and wall are going to work, then do the door and wall after and have it work. That would be more logical and better. And put the canvas in first instead of after the wall and door fail. So, I mean, logic is absolutely, you know, the most enjoyable. It brings the most joy in life, other than eating and drinking, right? Which is what the Bible says. There's no more joy than that. The other joy, though, is in being satisfied with your hard work, and that's from logic. Your hard work brings you satisfaction when it's done properly, and that's only possible if you've done it using logic, which is, you know, from love, right? The Logos was created by God, who is love, personified. Logic comes from love. It's a feeling of, you feel like God loves you when everything you do succeeds, obviously. So logic is important. Jesus is such a fine exemplar for us. We saw his wonderful teaching today in Matthew chapter 12. And this is Ward Green, December 22nd, 2022. It's 17, 24 hours and 57 seconds. So now it's 1725 hours, December 22nd, 2022. My name, Ward Green, once again, and I love you, little children. Have a wonderful day. Praise Jehovah. God bless you. Also, in all you do, seek first the kingdom and God's righteousness, and all the other things will be added to you. Thank you for watching and listening. Have a wonderful, great, exciting day. Bye for now.